The following program is a sports handicapping show. That's right, we will be discussing sports betting and all kinds of other gambling stuff, including game predictions. As you know, not every bet will win, but we do our best. Feel free to use this information at your own risk, and remember, wager wisely, folks. Broadcasting from the Vegas Video Network studios, live from the Las Vegas Strip, Covers.com presents Vegas Sports Day! And now from the sports betting capital of the world, here are your hosts, Teddy and the Professor.
It's Friday in Sin City, and you are watching the weekend preview edition of Vegas Sports Day, the pulse of the sports betting world. I'm your host, Teddy Covers, joined as always by my esteemed colleague, the Professor Dave Malinsky.
Coming up today, we're gonna have to wade through some key issues on tonight's ESPN clash between New York and Miami. Some issues on the college basketball hardwoods could end up putting fried rice on the menu for Saturday night. And after a week of anticipation, it looks like the weather is gonna keep us from having a senior moment in Mobile.
Dave, fried rice, man, you got me on a day I didn't catch breakfast before I came to the show. Now I'm hungry.
You would have breakfast? Fried rice for breakfast?
I'll eat anything right now, you know. I'm hungry. But you got me thinking about fried rice. Get me off the fried rice topic. What's your first take on a Friday? What did you see last night that you want to talk about?
I'm going to find out if anybody delivers to this office in this neighborhood. Something you were probably watching along with us last night. If you saw yesterday's show, you know we liked the Celtics. That was a very inflated line in Orlando. But at halftime, you can't feel very confident. What have we talked about a lot from day one? Teams down big in the first of back-to-back settings, letting the games go this year. Figuring, okay, we can't win this. Let's save energy. We'll try to win tomorrow's game. That didn't happen last night. Doc Rivers stayed with it. We were surprised, actually even a little bit confused. If we were coaching the Celtics at halftime, we might have let the game go. So naturally, we do our little research afterwards. What made him stay in the game, a game they completely dominated down the stretch? Well, when we get to Boston, Indiana tonight, we're going to talk about a Paul Pierce quote in the locker room at halftime that helped lead to it, a quote that ultimately tells us more about the Magic than it does about the Celtics. You were going to go to the Hilton last night.
Yeah.
Prop night.
Yeah.
Did you go?
Absolutely. You have to be down at the Hilton. And I compared the Super Bowl prop release last night with some of the events over the summer, like when the Golden Nugget puts out their college football games of the year, or this past year when MGM was the first to market for the NFL win totals. Not really a good comparison, to be honest. Last night at the Hilton was an absolute zoo. We're talking lines out the door. Everybody who's anybody in terms of Las Vegas sharp players, and not necessarily name guys, but guys who make their living from betting, they love the Hilton openers. And so does the rest of the sports betting world. I mean, I'm telling you, it was absolutely packed in there for a good couple of hours after those numbers came up. But Jay Cornegay, sharp guy, and he realizes the impact that the Hilton numbers have on the rest of the market. Because what's happened in years past, the Hilton puts out all of their Super Bowl props. The other sports books, not just here in Vegas, but around the globe, send someone in, pick up a sheet, you know, and it's like a book. It's 20 or 30 pages long, the Hilton prop sheet for the Super Bowl. And then they just bring it back to their own casino or sports book and basically copy the numbers. So what's Jay done? Well, he's like, well, we're not going to have the printed copies until next week, Monday. So what that creates, of course, is that not very easy to copy the numbers. I got in my back pocket right here a list of the, you know, bets that I was trying to make and get down on, but the stuff that I'm scrawling down on a piece of paper and a little bit of chaos at the window. So it saves the Hilton numbers. It helps the Hilton. But as bettors, man, we like to see those sheets. Makes it a lot easier for us. A lot of fun. It's something that I encourage you. If you're, whatever, the Hilton is Super Bowl central in many ways when it comes to Las Vegas. If you come to town, you do want to check out the Hilton. You do want to check out all the props they have for Super Bowl. And if you ever get the chance, opening night of Super Bowl prop season, man, that's a fun and exciting place to be. All right, Dave, let's start with Market Watch today. And I guess the first thing we have to talk about is Greg Schiano. And my take on Greg Schiano, literally, who just, you know, left Rutgers He was going to be a lifer for Rutgers 2 years ago, and then Tampa Bay came calling. Now he's going to be the new head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks. My take is entirely one word. Why? Why? Why Schiano? Explain, Dave.
We really can't. But part of what we can talk about is something we brought up in the college ranks back in December, where so many schools were firing their coaches. We brought up the issue that, you know what, when you have too many firings in one season, that pool gets awfully shallow of the replacements. And what you've got to be able to do at times is be patient and say, you know what, we fired this guy this year, we're going to get the eighth best option. If we hang on for one more year, we might get the second or third best option next year. But now look at all of these NFL teams, Indianapolis, Oakland, Tampa Bay. Have any of them necessarily created a new direction going forward? No, when you get too many firings at one time, that pool of candidates is a little bit too limited. Greg Schiano arguably has one of the worst resumes you'll ever see to get a head coaching job in the NFL, not only getting a job but a nice fat five-year contract. What did he do at Rutgers? Well, look at where they were when he got there. Look at where they are now. He kind of twiddled his thumbs. You can't see any particular improvement or progression in that program. But here's where Rutgers might have been lucky. And we've got two words for the people back there. Tom Bradley. You pull that off right now, you're actually better than you were a couple of days ago, and it would give Bradley a chance to get the redemption that he really deserves for all that's gone on at Penn State. Not such a good move for Tampa, especially being in a tough division, but potentially a chance for Rutgers to take a step forward.
I get a chance to disagree with you, Dave. That's always fun for me. Rutgers, as a program, way better now than they were before Schiano arrived. I still remember when Tom Holmo, in his last game as the Cal Bears head coach, a Cal team that I believe was 0-10 at the time, they were laying 9 on the road at Rutgers for their season finale from a game that was postponed. I believe it was, well, I don't remember if it was a hurricane or if it was a post 9/11 or whatever it was. But that's how bad the Rutgers program was when Schiano got there. What did he do to make it better? Simple. He recruited, you know, there was a recruiting base, a real recruiting base in New Jersey, in the metropolitan New York area, kids that were largely going to Syracuse and UConn. What happened? Well, Schiano got a lot of those kids to stay at home in New Jersey, and the talent base for the Rutgers Scarlet Knights got better. Did Schiano coach particularly well? No. Did the team overachieve at any point while he was there? No. But he was a pretty good recruiter. Unfortunately, that doesn't really work on an NFL level.
We've always liked Beano Cook through the years. And maybe this is a great way to sum up Rutgers. And if you think about it, it's an incredible statement. And this is probably going back maybe 15 years ago. Said, if they changed the name from Rutgers to the University of New Jersey, the gold sheet would raise their power rating 3 points. And that's what it is. It's that association level. New Jersey has good football talent. Part of what Tom Bradley had been doing for years at Penn State is helping to bring some of that talent in. If it was the University of New Jersey and you saw this big, powerful school, there'd be some meaning across the state border when it's just Rutgers. But yeah, Schiano recruited a little bit better, not a whole lot. If you saw Rutgers play this year, there's just a continued lack of direction that we see in that program.
We got a ton of email to catch up on. You know, we have to talk about how best to deal with the lottery in Delaware. We got a great email about correlated parlays.
NBA teasers
we got
this morning.
Yeah, exactly. An email that came in today about NBA teasers. Lots of other good topics. We're going to clean up the mailbag to start next week, Monday. It's going to be a show that's heavy on the viewer emails. But first, let's take a letter that came in earlier this week, and it's a letter that we're going to ask for your responses for later on in the show. This is Kevin from Fort Collins. He says, thanks for the in-depth analysis on the show yesterday and for providing a new perspective for breaking down the early starts on Saturday. I'll take Teddy's advice. Good job, Kev. Appreciate that. And adjust appropriately. I was thoroughly entertained and fascinating at the highlight you put on Fort Collins. To answer your question, I did not personally attend Colorado State. I've lived here for about 3 years now, and the weather's great, the people are friendly, and we all know the beer is good, too. I have indeed enjoyed the green chili ale Bloody Mary at Cooper Smith's. From what I hear, they aren't quite as spicy as they used to be, but it still makes for a fantastic combination. Kevin continues, I'll be coming to Las Vegas next Sunday, which means, unfortunately, I'm going to be a little too late for the bash at Caesars. Do you guys have any suggestions where else might be a good place to watch the big game? And that's a good question, because I really don't know where I'm watching Super Bowl this year. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that fact. So we're going to ask you guys. Let's all help Kevin and many others out over the weekend. Send us an email. Tell us some of your favorite things to do on Super Bowl weekend and favorite places to watch the game. We'll make that a big part of next week's show.
And for those of you who live in Las Vegas and you're going to watch it at home, they've got that Oak Pit going at Carlito's again next week. They will have their Oak Pit smoked ribs. You got to order in advance. Many of you will know what I'm talking about. Carlito's ribs, not a bad thing to do on Super Bowl Sunday. Here's what we're going to do on Vegas Sports Day. Tuesday is going to be Super Tuesday. We're not going to hold off till the end of the week. We know a lot of you want to be shopping for line value early. If you get to town, those of you that want to take three, lay 2.5, you want to be able to go out and find it. But you want our opinion first, we think. Whether that opinion's any good or not, the final score will show. But Tuesday will be Super Bowl Tuesday. Side and total will be covered on Tuesday. Thursday will be prop day. We're going to give a chance to collect them from not only all the books in Las Vegas, a lot of the places offshore. So have a pretty full menu by Thursday. So Tuesday and Thursday next week will be the big Super Bowl days in addition to the daily basketball.
Hey, guys, please keep those emails coming. You've been doing a great job at giving your contribution to the show. And as we talked about, we're going to try to highlight a bunch of those emails next week. Send the emails in sportsday@covers.com. You can ask us questions via Twitter. Getting a bunch of Twitter followers. Good job, guys. Keep on signing up at Vegas Sports Day. And, of course, you can get involved in the community. You know, lots of other bettors out there, guys. And people like to discuss ideas, like to discuss angles, like to discuss plays. Covers.com/postingforum. And last but not least, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the Super Bowl party next Friday night, 7 days from today. It's not too late to come. It's not too late to arrive in Vegas. Hey, Dave and I will be there. We hope you'll be there, too. If you want to come, just send an RSVP email to party@covers.com. That party, of course, at Caesars in the Munch Bar next Friday night at 7:30.
Up next, the news you need to know in our Insider Six-Pack. You're watching Vegas Sports Day.
Are you looking for the latest odds, the fastest scores, the most important trends, and the best matchups and stats? Are you looking for the key late-breaking information that can make you a winner? Well, Covers.com has the answer. The world's largest sports betting community gives you a front-row seat in the heart of the action, from the opening lines to the final scores. If you want to stay ahead of the game, Covers covers the numbers.
Oh, hello there. My name is Brandon Gooch Hahn, host of Awkward Silence 2.1. And when I'm not living vicariously through Chris Phillips, I'm on VegasVideoNetwork.com.
All right, guys. Yeah, it's time to pop the top on today's Insider Six-Pack. Let's start with tonight's NBA hardwoods, and we'll talk about the Bobcats and 76ers. And to say the first two games for Charlotte without DJ Augustine have been a disaster, that's something of an understatement. The Bobcats scored 78 and 75 points against the struggling Knicks and even more struggling Wizards, two teams that don't play a lick of defense. As a team, Charlotte shot about 34% from the floor in a pair of blowout losses against bottom feeders. One of the issues we talked about in an earlier six-pack is that Kemba Walker is one of those players that may be caught in NBA limbo a little bit much. Walker, not a natural point guard, a little bit too small to play the two position in the NBA, and, you know, the results kind of bear that out. Two games since replacing Augustine at the point, Walker 11 of 36 from the floor, 7 turnovers, only 6 assists. That's not what you're looking for out of your starting point guard at the NBA level. Now, it may even get worse for Charlotte. They're going to step up in class against the 76ers tonight, and Walker's going to have to do it without Gerald Henderson, the team's leading scorer. Injuries in the front court, B.J. Mullins is a question mark for Charlotte. They're without D.J. White. So missing pieces all over the place for the Bobcats. Matt Carroll going to be in the starting lineup replacing Henderson tonight. He's a good shooter, but extremely limited in the other aspects of his game, particularly on the defensive end of the court, and there's very, very little depth on Paul Silas's bench this evening. Indiana's got some issues of their own. We saw the Pacers play poorly, losing in overtime to New Jersey at home earlier in the week. And, you know, they're playing without their starting center, Spencer Hawes. They're playing without his backup, Nikola Vucevic. They got out-rebounded 45-37 by New Jersey in that overtime loss. Those two, again, the two centers not expected to go tonight, and they may not have forward Thaddeus Young. He's a question mark with a back injury. Worth noting, Philly 8-2 against the spread in these home favorite roles, 9-1 against the spread as favorites of 7 or more. But the bottom line for the Sixers, this number keeps on going up. Philly's not getting any healthier. Well, neither is Charlotte.
It's been a star-crossed career for Andrew Bogut. Now it's going to get even worse. Suffered a broken ankle on Wednesday, out indefinitely, possibly out for the season. Milwaukee's got some decisions to make. Right now, you're not sitting in playoff contention, but that number 8 seed in the East is wide open. So the Bucks have to decide. Is it worth getting into the playoffs for a likely first-round elimination? If that's the case, Bogut will try to rehab, maybe come back later. And do we try to bring someone in as a replacement until that happens? Here's all they've got at center right now. Drew Gordon, Larry Sanders. We want Larry Sanders full-time in an NBA lineup, by the way, because we've got all sorts of great Larry Sanders references and a lot of Hank Kingsley stuff. John Lohr, a rookie from Wisconsin. None of those guys are natural number fives. None of them are low-post scorers. We're hearing they may sign Joel Prisbilla just to get a defensive presence in the pivot. But even before they do that, they've got to decide, is this season worth playing all the way out? Or to say, you know what, we weren't going anywhere in the playoffs, even if we did make it. Let's get better for next year. A note that for Chicago tonight, likely no Luol Deng again, no Taj Gibson. That really matters up front for them defensively. But looking ahead to Sunday, expect Deng to be on the court when they play the Heat in Miami.
I met Andrew Bogut one time at the Caesars Palace Poker Room. He was playing 2-5, no limit, just like a regular Joe. And he seemed like a regular Joe, only he was a lot taller than anyone else at the table. Of course, the injury he was recovering from then was back surgery. Now it's an ankle. Bogut, definitely a star-crossed NBA career. Let's talk about the Jazz and the Mavericks for tonight. Both coaches in a little bit of a scramble mode this evening. Utah, without leading scorer and rebounder Al Jefferson. They were without him on the overtime loss to Toronto on Wednesday. And after an MRI yesterday, he's been diagnosed with tendonitis in his right ankle. With the team not likely to play, but he is still considered a game-time decision. That's something worth watching in the hours leading up to tip-off. The same can be said also for Jazz swingman Rajah Bell, who didn't practice yesterday and is being bothered by both knee and back injuries. Relatively minor injuries, but they may give him tonight off as well. The good news for Utah is that they got Josh Howard, a former Maverick and a guy who was a winner and a key player on some pretty good teams, but he's healthy enough to be back in the rotation after missing the first part of the season. However, he was extremely rusty against Toronto, 0-5 from the floor. That's not scoring a single point in more than 15 minutes of court time, a stretch in which the Jazz were outscored by 14 points. For Dallas tonight, it looks like they may have Vince Carter back in the fold. And it's worth noting for the weekend that while they're not going to have Dirk Nowitzki tonight, there's talk he's going to suit up. We can expect him to suit up, I should say, in Sunday's home showdown versus the San Antonio Spurs. Rick Carlisle really having a tough time getting some chemistry together with all of the issues and attrition with this Dallas squad. This is a team that's already lost 4 times by 15 points or more this year. It only happened twice for the entirety of last year's championship season.
2 weeks ago, we talked about how well Andrea Bargnani had been playing for Toronto. At an all-star level, team fell apart without him. Finally comes back for 2 games, plays dynamite basketball. 61 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. They win back-to-back road games. But unfortunately, in that overtime win at Utah, re-injures his calf. He says, worse than it was before now. We may not see him for a little while. Look at the impact that he's had on that team this year. When he's been on the court, 6-7, nearly a 500 team, averaging 90.5 points per game. When he's been out, 0-6, only averaging 81 points a game. Big, big difference. If you saw that total, though, get crashed for tonight at Denver, it wasn't just his absence. Note that for the Nuggets, no Ty Lawson tonight. They're going to give him a chance to rest that ankle. Likely no Aaron Aflalo again, and possibly no Rudy Fernandez. So even though Denver does have decent depth that may not impact the line that much, it does impact the total. Andre Miller, a terrific fill-in at point guard, but it's a much different game flow than when Lawson's running the show.
Let's move to Saturday's College of Basketball hardwoods, where Washington State's big home weekend, beating Cal and Stanford last weekend, got turned around in a big hurry last night at Arizona, an ugly 24-point drubbing for the Cougs in that ballgame. And there was a prime reason for that loss, namely key cog Faisal Aiden, a guy who had just a monster weekend, maybe one of the best weekends of any player in the country last week. 57 points in only 58 minutes of floor time. But in the first half against Arizona yesterday, he suffered a knee injury, left the game, only played 11 minutes. Do not expect him back for Saturday afternoon's game versus Arizona State. The problem, of course, is that Arizona State's got injury concerns of their own. They lost again on Thursday without Trent Lockett, who they were hoping to have back this week to man the point guard position. This is Herb Sendek's take after the loss, which certainly makes Lockett sound rather doubtful for Saturday's game. Quote, at this point, with the short turnaround and only one day in between, and he hasn't really done anything yet, we have to be prepared to play without him. Of course, without him, Arizona State has looked pretty inept on the offense at the end of the court in each of their last four ball games.
Rice may have to play without two key cogs on Saturday. Early in the week, we talked about Arsalan Kazemi, who's got a chance to be Conference USA Player of the Year, a guy averaging a double-double, tied for the national lead in double-doubles this season. Re-injured his knee against Memphis, only able to play 29 minutes that night. Consider him questionable to doubtful for tomorrow's game. But now it gets even worse. Tamir Jackson has been suspended for a flagrant 2 foul that was committed in that loss at Memphis. Now, under the NCAA rules, he would not have been suspended, and it didn't look like all that bad of an incident. But under Conference USA's own set of rules, he is out. The university did appeal, and here's what we get from Athletic Director Rick Greenspan. We're comfortable that there was no malicious attempt to injure in any way. Tamir displayed proper sportsmanship immediately following the play. We attempted to appeal the suspension with the conference office, but were informed that the rule is not appealable. That doesn't quite sound right. It wasn't that bad of an incident. Second on the team in minutes, second on the team in scoring, second on the team in assists, Rice could be very shorthanded come tomorrow night.
When we come back, it's time to head to the Friday night hardwoods as Money Time begins.
I'm Courtney Leone. This is Vegas Video Network. You want me to mention awkward silence? Let's do that then, okay. Never been on set here before. I'm always out live on location for Awkward Silence 2.1. I'm Courtney Leone, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. Good, better.
Livestream is your premier place to watch live events on the web, mobile devices, and connected TVs. See new events daily or broadcast your own at livestream.com. Livestream. Be there.
Okay, guys, it's money time! This edition of Money Time is brought to you by Covers.com. Remember, for all the key information you need in every sport, Covers covers the numbers. Let's start out in Miami for tonight's ESPN matchup between the Heat and the Knicks. Nah, it's not the old days with Mourning and Ewing. It's the new days with LeBron and who for the Knicks? I don't know. I guess they got some guy named Amari. The bottom line for New York, really struggling right now. We detailed in a postmortem earlier in the week about the Knicks' issues and particularly Carmelo Anthony's issues. Well, guess what? The Knicks did their own postmortem on Carmelo Anthony, and he's going to be sitting for the next few days as not likely to play in Houston tomorrow, recovering from that wrist injury that has so affected his shooting and his confidence level. But the Knicks may be better without Melo on the floor. As we discussed, he's not been exactly lifting the team up with his play. And this is a Miami team. I'm telling you, I've watched them repeatedly over the course of the last couple of weeks. They don't have that killer instinct. 2-8 against the spread when laying 8 points or more each of their last three games. We've seen extended stretches of lethargic basketball for Miami. Maybe a team, you know, they're built for the long haul. They're not built for blowing out teams in January and February. Maybe a little bit overvalued when it comes to point spreads of this magnitude for an ESPN game where the Knicks, well, They're going to try to show, aren't they, Dave?
Yeah, here's the issue you have from a line adjustment standpoint. If you saw yesterday's show, you know, just how bad Carmelo Anthony has been playing since he came back off that wrist injury. In those half dozen games, the worst shooter in the NBA if we compare it to guys who have enough shots to qualify. So what's the adjustment? If a guy's playing that bad and he's out, it can't really hurt the team that much. If anything, you get some guys in there who will try hard, who will compete. Our difficulty is so many times if your stars are out, you rely on fundamentals instead. Well, the Knicks don't have those. Defensively, they're just a mess. And it's not that the personnel's that bad. Mike D'Antoni just doesn't coach good defense. They could say, well, in Phoenix, we wanted to run. That was our flow. We could play defense when we had to. Now that you see him with a different roster, the fundamentals just aren't there. And it's a troubled roster. At one point, they were hoping Baron Davis would be ready for tonight. No, you won't see him this weekend. Josh Harrelson, gone for a while. Not going to see him. So they're not necessarily looking to bring people in to make those replacements. But here's the issue on the Miami side, and we think that decision's already been made. We said earlier this week they wanted Dwayne Wade back on the court for Sunday against Chicago. So here's your gamble tonight. Do you play him a little bit, get him into rhythm, or do you know you can beat the Knicks without him? Give him a little more rest. Their decision, give him a little more rest. You won't see Wade tonight. That's their way of saying we can win this game without him, and they will win it. We're just not sure they're going to win it by more than 11.
Let's go to Boston, where the Boston Celtics put money into both of our pockets last night, Dave. We thank you, Doc Rivers, for playing hard in the second half. The question is, can they do it again tonight against Indiana? It's the Celtics' three-point home dogs to the Pacers. Second night of back-to-backs has not been particularly good for Boston this year. They played Indiana twice already this season, and the Pacers have really handled the Celtics in both those meetings. A pair of double-digit wins, one on each floor, one at the TD Garden and one at the whatever they're calling what they play in Indiana nowadays. Man, these NBA court change names are name court the court change name, court name, name changes are changes. Killing me. But the bottom line is Boston's had a lot of success. Or Indiana's had a lot of success shutting down the Celtics offense, and Boston as a team, not likely to be particularly fresh for tonight's matchup, Dave.
Here's the bottom line of what happened last night. And this is very usable information because it tells you a lot about Orlando, a team we've repeatedly said over them that we don't like that much this year. Paul Pierce, talking about the locker room at halftime. I told the guys in the locker room, if we just cut this lead in half, they'll give us a chance to win the game. Sort of his way of saying, you know what, we make a run at the Magic, they'll fold up. Just the same way they folded up on Monday, and they did, a 27-8 Boston run out in the fourth quarter. So Doc Rivers saw that he had that opportunity. He knew that Pierce, his key player on the court, had the confidence. They went out and got it, but now it comes at an expense. Let's tally those minutes up a little bit. Pierce, 44-24 last night. That's the most he's played in a regular season game since April 1st of 2009, going back quite some time. Kevin Garnett, his third highest minute count of the season. That matters because no Rajon Rondo again. We don't think Ray Allen's going to play. Combination of an injury and also his fourth child was born last night. Good spot for him to take a night off. They finally got Keon Dueling back last night. He suffers a hip pointer. He may not play. And Jermaine O'Neal, who was a scratch last night because his knee had been swelling, he's scheduled for an MRI today. Boston could be extremely shorthanded for this matchup. And the guys at the top are going to be tired. But Rivers got what he wanted out of the sequence. I got two games in 2 days. Let me win one of them. And could this be one of these white flags? We were worried about the white flag last night with Boston in our pockets. If they fall down tonight, could this be the white flag setting?
Yeah, I mean, this is a Pacers team that's been winning games in hostile environments all season long, and outstanding a road team so far this NBA season. We talked about the fact they dominated the first two meetings between these two teams, really shutting Boston down defensively. And, you know, Indiana's going to be fresher than the Celtics star tonight. They have more depth than Boston does tonight. They probably have a little bit better balance than Boston does tonight. I mean, Indiana's numbers, number five on defense in the league this season. The Celtics' defensive numbers aren't quite there. Six different players scored in their double-digit win at Chicago in their last outing. And this is a team, again, you know, they win at against the Lakers. The Lakers were trying that game. They win against the Bulls in Chicago. They win against Golden State. That's their last three road games. You know, they had the six players in double digits against Chicago. And Danny Granger, someone who we were very concerned about, his ability to find his shot, he was struggling early in the season. Granger, well, he's found his mojo. Still sitting at career lows, 16.5 points, 37% shooting. But in the last four games, Granger, 20 points per game on 47.4% shooting after shooting in the 33% range.
Sounds like they should win this, doesn't it?
Indiana? Yeah.
They should win. Yeah.
I think so.
But a graphic?
Sure, do it, Dave. Get that graphic up.
Oh, Jacob's got to do that.
Oh, well,
we pay him. How about a graphic, Jacob? There are enough edges here. Fresher team with Indiana. And go back to one of the things we talked about with Boston yesterday in that Orlando matchup. The J.J. Redick quote, those guys know how to defend us. But when you got a shorthanded roster, if you know your opponent, as Doc Rivers did, you could still put that game plan together. Because you could take each of these subs and here's what you do against this team. Well, guess what? Doc doesn't have that tonight. He doesn't know Indiana. He's got a bunch of players who don't get a chance to practice to prepare for Indiana. For as good as the Celtics looked last night, tonight it's the Crash. Let's make the Pacers the Sports Day Friday play of the day.
When we come back, it's time to switch our focus to the college variety of basketball. And maybe we'll even touch on the final game of the college football season, the Senior Bowl, going tomorrow. We'll be right back.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Yeah, it's Money Time Part 2, College Variety. We're going to start on Saturday in Waco, Texas, where the Baylor Bears, look ahead line has them about 7.5 points better than Texas on their home floor. This is a Baylor team that we've made money with so far this season, Dave, and it's a Texas team that, heck, we've done postmortems about why they're struggling. We've done a bunch of stuff about some of the issues that Texas has faced this season. Saturday's matchup between the two, what edges do we got?
We spent a lot of time this week talking about revenge and where it doesn't work. So again, don't bring it up in the Super Bowl party. It has nothing to do with New England Giants. Jacob's going to be there. He's going to be listening. And you'll know which one, you know, you'll know how to find Jacob when you're there. Just look up, okay? That tells you all you need to know. Revenge matters in this game. We can make a case that Baylor probably will play harder in this matchup than any game all season. 2 years ago, they swept Texas, a 3-0, including a 19-point win in the Big 12 tournament. Last year, they got swept themselves. They want to beat Texas more than anyone in that conference. Yeah, Kansas and Missouri are rated higher. No, when you're at Baylor, you want to beat Texas. You bring your A game. Now, we told you that revenge matters when it means an edge in a particular game. Here's where it does. Here's Baylor with that real high-level focus. What about Texas? Last Saturday, you play Kansas at home. Big showdown on national TV. Wednesday night, revenge game at home against Iowa State. And coming up Monday night, ESPN, Big Monday, national television, there's Missouri. This is just another trip for Texas. This is not where you necessarily get their A game, and they don't have much of an A game anyway. We talked about that lack of experience that's forcing Jacob on Brown to have to take way too many shots, and he's wearing down. Here's where that lack of experience matters. Baylor, one of the few teams in college basketball that plays mostly zone defenses. You got a bunch of freshmen out there seeing that zone for the first time. They could get a little bit rattled on the road.
And, you know, this is a Texas team, 0-3 straight up, 1-2 against the spread on the Big 12 road. They've allowed nearly 82 points per game on better than 50% shooting in those contests. But here's the key. In those games, Texas actually got a break. Their opponents, just 58 of 97 from the free throw line. Brick, brick, brick. Off the line, you saw Kansas State do it when they met the Longhorns, and Texas covered the number in that game in the four-point loss, but they didn't win it. And here's a situation where they're going to be going against a Baylor team that doesn't miss free throws down the stretch. Baylor just shy of 74% from the charity stripe on the season against the Longhorns. Wouldn't be shocked if Baylor's able to extend late by sinking free throws when it matters most from a point spread perspective.
Remember, guys, when you do your stat work, there is no such thing as free throw defense. That's just pure luck. You're standing there, they're missing. There could have been a whole lot more points scored against Texas in those games. It's a nice little subtle factor that won't show up in the line. Let's go to Sunday in Columbus, Ohio, a game with a high point spread. Ohio State's going to go off around a minus 14 against Michigan. But don't be surprised if it's a much better game than that point spread indicates. Boy, is there anybody better right now taking points than John Beilein, an excellent tactician who now that he's been in Michigan for a couple of years is getting in the kind of players to fit his system well. How about 22-6 against the spread the last two-plus seasons as a Big Ten underdog, including some awfully interesting games against these very Buckeyes?
Oh, yeah, look at the numbers. I mean, the numbers here don't lie. Last year, well, we saw the Big Ten tournament 2 years ago, 68-69. Michigan loses by one as nine-point dogs. Then last year, Michigan's an 11-point dog at home. They lose 64-68. Cover the spread there. In Columbus, they're plus 16. They lose the game by 9, 53-62. They met again in the conference tournament. They're plus 10, 61-68. Michigan not able to get the wins in any of those games, but got the cover in all of those games. That's four consecutive point spread covers for the Wolverines. And Michigan right now, they've had all of this success, you know, nationally ranked, a program that had spent basically a decade of futility that is now suddenly starting to make some noise, starting to get some TV games, starting to attract the type of recruits that Dave was just referring to. And the big hump win early in the week on the scoreboard over Purdue. So the confidence is there perhaps to hang on the highway. And Michigan's done all of this despite the fact, you know, we talked about one of the luck factors involved in Texas not losing as badly as they should have been. Here's one for Michigan. Michigan's been bricking shot after shot. We're talking about a team that's 6-2 in Big Ten play. They've shot 30% from the floor from three-point range. They've allowed 40% shooting from three-point range. So they're getting killed in these three-point shooting matchups, still winning games. You know, Tim Hardaway, Trey Burke, just 20 of 80, 25% from three-point range in conference play. These are two solid perimeter shooters, guys whose numbers should rebound before this season is over, yet, you know, still combining for close to 32 points per game between them, despite the fact those three-point shots haven't fallen. That means Michigan's getting good offensive production from their guards, and if the three-point shots ever start to fall, watch out for the Wolverines.
Let's close out the college football season. We'll go to the Senior Bowl in Mobile Saturday afternoon. The North, the 2.5-point favorite over the South. Total up around a 45.5 right now. And we thought we were going to have a lot here. We're looking forward to this game. A lot of unders in the All-Star games last year because the senior quarterback classes were awful. This year, the senior quarterback class, much, much, much better. And so what happens as the week goes on? Tornado warnings in Mobile yesterday. Neither team practices. That hurts if you want to be looking for more points. Those teams need as much time as possible. So we haven't come to our full conclusion yet. We want to get today's practice reports, but boy, after losing yesterday, that has us a lot more hesitant.
Yeah, but we got a real good email on this one, Dave, and a source that wished to remain anonymous, but someone who's provided us with some pretty good tips. And I'm just going to quote exactly what he wrote us. Quote, I have been at the Senior Bowl this week and have attended all the practices. I haven't seen a line yet, but the South is the better team by far. Plus, the North has lost two centers and has a converted guard playing the position now. Lots of mishandled snaps. One of its top corners, Nebraska's Alfonso Denard, went down and will miss Saturday's game. Love the tip. Appreciate the info. And it's, of course, worth noting, North is favored in this game. We just got a tip from someone that's been in practice all week that says the South is clearly the better team.
Some NFL scouts in their daily reports are saying similar things, and some other sports writers who are filing daily columns. But you know what you might find out on game day? They're actually wrong. There's a difference between practice and the games. In practice, a couple of these high-pedigree quarterbacks, Kellen Moore from Boise State, Russell Wilson from Wisconsin, they don't show these big cannon NFL arms. Whereas guys for the South, like Nick Foles from Arizona, shows that arm. Ryan Lindley from San Diego State shows that arm. In practice, they look better. But they won't be practicing tomorrow. It's going to be a game. In a game setting, I think I like those backup quarterbacks, Moore and Wilson, better than the guys from the South who can throw the ball better, but aren't necessarily the guys who will compete, who will lead in the huddle, who will make the right decisions play after play after play. Particularly want to talk about a guy like Foles at Arizona. Plays that wide open spread offense. It's entirely different now. These are pro sets tomorrow. Wilson from Wisconsin, a lot of pro set stuff. Moore from Boise State, a lot of pro set stuff. Kirk Cousins will be the starting quarterback, Michigan State, a lot of pro set stuff. Who's been the best quarterback this week? Brandon Whedon, not surprising. But did he play pro set stuff at Oklahoma State? No, it was a lot of the spread. So we think the North might actually be underrated a little bit here in that their players will look better on the field tomorrow playing the flow of that game than they would in practice. Not enough for us to bet it. We're still concerned about this rhythm being thrown out because of the no practices on Thursday. But yeah, we're going to disagree with some of the scouts and some of the other people who've been covering the practices this week. The game may not look like the practices.
Yeah, and it's certainly worth noting that we're talking about man-to-man coverage in this game. These are some of these quarterbacks that have had great success finding open holes in zones. That's not going to be the case on the field for tomorrow. But this isn't where we're going for our play of the day material. Dave, we're talking about a weekend play of the day. We're going to look elsewhere. We're going to go back to the college ranks and take a look at the Baylor Bears. Again, the look-ahead line has Baylor -7.5 against Texas. We've talked repeatedly about the issues for Texas on this show, and this is one game Baylor has triple-circled on their schedule. Lay it with Baylor on Saturday. It's a Vegas Sports Day play of the day. And that's going to wrap it up. Another week is in the books. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to spend with us. From Alinsky, I'm Savransky. Enjoy the games and good luck. Next week, Super Bowl previews, email, Super Bowl party, and lots of great analysis right here on Vegas Sports.